Okay. Well, we've remarked more than once that there's an unusual amount of space in the four Gospels to the last week of Jesus' life. We don't find that in biographies. But, of course, the Gospels are not a biography of Jesus, not just a life story. They are written with an aim, a particular aim that was in the mind of Almighty God, who then shared that, conveyed it by the Holy Spirit to feeble fellas who just wrote down exactly what the Lord wanted you and me to read. Now, a few weeks ago, we had the rest of Jesus and Peter's fierce denial. I don't know him, I never saw him, I wasn't with him, and so on. Today, we're at the trial, or trials, of Jesus. Because when you read the Gospel, you realize there are two distinct trials going on, more or less at the same time. The first by the Jewish authorities, and then the second one by the Romans, the Roman governor. Well, why the two? The answer, obviously, is because who arrested Jesus? It was the religious people, the Jews, the Jewish leaders, who've been trying to grab hold of him for months. They arrest him. And so he's taken by the temple guards, who arrest him, to the high priest's house, where he's going to be interrogated. And if you read there, not just interrogated, but mocked and tormented and tortured. Prophesy, they smack him across the face. Prophesy, who do you think hit you, and that kind of thing. Now, this was, according to Jewish law, illegal. They weren't allowed to have a court. It was a kangaroo court. They were not allowed to meet at night. And so, to cover their tracks the following morning, they meet officially in the Sanhedrin, which is an assembly of about 70 religious leaders who were responsible for legislating on the faith of the Jews and their behavior. The chairman was the high priest. But, of course, any decision they came to, incidentally, they weren't allowed to make a decision at night because it was a legal gathering, and they were not allowed to ratify a decision in the morning if the trial had been illegal at night. Anyway, but any decision they did come to lawfully could obviously be overturned because the Romans were in charge. Plus, the issue for the Jews was that blasphemy was a capital offense, punishable by death. For the Jews, but not for the Romans. So there was a problem for the Jews, even if they found him guilty in the Sanhedrin, even if they could somehow accumulate enough evidence, they couldn't get enough evidence, if it was blasphemy, the charge, to find that the Romans would say, oh, we are, we'll execute him. They needed Pontius Pilate on board to rubber stamp whatever decision they would make. So here we are in the Sanhedrin. If you are the Christ, tell us. And you notice, very unusual court, they don't bring any charges. They basically invite Jesus to shoot himself in the foot. They invite Jesus to somehow incriminate himself. If you are the Christ, tell us. Now, why doesn't Jesus just say, oh, what was the question? Yes, I am the Christ. Why doesn't he do that? And there's a sense in which he answers that question in his answer. He says, look, if I tell you, you won't believe me. And if I asked you, you wouldn't answer. Now, why does he say that? Because the concept of the Christ, the Messiah, I read Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, and to you a child is born, you know, 700 years earlier. The concept of the Christ, the Messiah, had become so warped and mangled in the Jewish thinking that when they were asked, are you the Christ? If you are the Christ, tell us. You know, what was in their minds? Jesus had a pretty good idea. Whatever was in their minds was wrong. So he wasn't going to add to their confusion by just saying, yes, you were confused about the Christ. I'm the one you're confused about. He wasn't going to do that. Incidentally, down through the centuries, there would have been loads of people who'd come and said, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. I'm the one that's been prophesied. And it was not blasphemy to say you were the Christ. Because as far as they were concerned, the Christ was not God. So you could claim to be the Christ, you were deluded, you're a bit warped in your thinking, but it wasn't blasphemy. But Jesus hasn't finished with them yet. My title, really, this morning is, what shall we call you, Jesus? What shall we call you? So, the Christ, the Messiah. Now Jesus then picks his favorite title for himself, the Son of Man. From now on, he says, you'll see the Son of Man at the right hand of God. Remember now, he's talking about 70 people. Who are they? Jews. Not just Jews, experts in Jewish faith. They knew who the Son of Man was. When he says, you'll see the Son of Man, are you the Christ? He didn't. What did he say? If I tell you, you won't believe me. And if I ask you, you won't answer properly. But you'll see the Son of Man at the right hand of God. They knew exactly. Son of Man was from Daniel, maybe 600 years earlier. And the Son of Man was the one who would come at the end of the age and judge the whole world. The Son of Man was God. And that is enough for them. The Sanhedrin, they immediately would join all the dots here. Are you then the Son of God? See, straight away now, because he's already claimed to be God. Are you then the Son of God? And Jesus says, yeah, you're bang on. You're absolutely right. So here we have Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ has come. He's God in human form. And so the Jewish court, and now have all the evidence they need. We don't need any more evidence. This is blasphemy. He's claiming to be God. Now they're ready to take him off to Pilate. Of course, they have to come up with a better charge for Pilate, who's not going to condemn him to death for blasphemy. Now, my point is this. Are you with me so far? Just filling you in on. My point is this. Jesus often didn't give yes, no answers because the questions were bad questions. And so, because their concept of the Messiah, the Christ, was so warped, so wrong, the kingdom that they were thinking of was so off the wall that Jesus was not going to answer a question where the question is so badly phrased, if you like. And so what do we say? Here's the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders. They are wrong about the God they think they believe in. Here we are, our land. And today's churches in our land are largely wrong about the God they think they believe in. They're largely confused about the God they think they believe in. A recent survey in America, I know it's America, but everything just about comes over the pond, doesn't it? Recent survey in America, 34% of all the people questioned said they were born again Christians. 34% of the people they were interviewing, okay? An enormous number. Of the 34%, only 55% believed you get to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Do you see how ridiculous? Already this is ridiculous now. Because these are the people who say, yeah, I'm born again. And they ask those, and only just over half say they can get to heaven because of Jesus. The others are split into two camps. One says they'll get to heaven because they're good. And the other group says they'll get to heaven by keeping the commandments of God. Talk about confusing. These are people who say they are believers, they're Christians. See, the kingdom of God meant one thing to the authorities. It meant something very different to Jesus. The concept of the Christ, they assumed was someone who was going to liberate them from the Roman fist, set them free from the Roman thugs who were taking charge of the land. But of course, if the Pharisees and Sadducees in the Sanhedrin were hoping that Jesus would come and sort out the Romans, what they don't realize is he's come to sort them out as well. You know, people have said over the years to me so many things. So many. I'm in the university, God willing, tomorrow night. And I was just thinking, I got so much stuff I'll have to leave out, otherwise I'll be speaking for hours. Because, you know, so much nonsense has been spoken, so much illogical stuff. I remember talking to a lady after a meeting like this. What about the cross? Oh, Jesus died for sinners. I said, how does it affect you? Not at all. How? Well, it's for sinners, and I'm not a sinner. I'm good, and my son is a vicar. Well, how confused can you be? But Wales is confused. Churches are confused. There's churches, in inverted commas, on this hill, but they're very confused about what they think they believe. They're confused about God, and they're confused about sin. You know, still, as we need to read the papers or the internet or whatever, you know, your teletext or whatever it is, you know, the news, the dominant philosophy in our land, in Parliament, in schools, in universities, in councils, is that knife crime or drugs What's the cure? Education. It's still the only philosophy they got. But people are hooked on sin. I was in the co-op, waiting in the queue, long queue, only one at the till, and she was shouting, "Help at the till," and nobody's taking any notice put up. And so this long queue, and about three or four places in front of me is this young mother with a toddler who is just being neglected, basically, and just looking at them, you could see neglect written all over the situation. It was horrible. She comes to the till, she's got some bread and some milk, a couple of quid, and then she spends about 10 times as much on the lottery. And I'm standing there, you know, 5 yards away, thinking, is it any of my business? This is tragic, though. Does somebody need to say something to this woman? And yet, this has been repeated thousands of times every day, isn't it? Yeah, you know, I watched something on ITV recently, and the adverts come on, adverts for booze and for gambling. But as long as they got in little print, you know, drink sensibly, or gamble responsibly, or what's the little thing? When the fun stops, stop. Oh, well, there we are then. And I'm sure these media moguls and whoever it is make those, they sleep soundly at night, even though millions are hooked, aren't they? That's just on gambling and booze. And the best that our governments can come up with is, we need more education. We need to sit people down and tell them that knives are actually sharp and they could hurt you. And actually, you know, squandering all your money on the lottery when your kids are neglected is not a good idea. Now, maybe you're not, as I look at you, probably nobody here hooked on gambling or booze. I don't know, but I'm guessing. That's great, I'm glad. Perhaps you're nice and moral and fairly decent. Let me share a story from just last week. About 4 weeks ago, I had a phone call from a local school. Will you come and take an assembly on a certain date, okay? Right, I will, I said. I put it in my diary, and I turned up this week. And when I turned up, one of the teachers came in and said to me, "Who booked you?" "I don't know," I said. "The lady rang me 6:30 on a Monday night because the inspection was coming up, and they wanted me to come in and do an assembly." "Oh, you don't know who it was?" "No, I don't know." Then somebody else comes up and says, "Who booked you? We haven't got any record if you come in, you know." "No problem, you can do it." Then a lady from the office comes in, not a member of staff even, not a teaching staff, comes in, says, "I haven't got any record, you know, who rang you?" I said, "Well, actually, it could have been you." "Oh, it wasn't me." "Oh, it definitely wasn't me." I said, "Well, it could have been. Somebody rang me." So we call her Wendy, okay? Wendy says, "It wasn't me, it wasn't me." As Wendy walks away, one of the teachers walks over to me and just whispers in my ear, "It was Wendy." And do you know what my assembly was on? Adam and Eve. Easy as that. What's the default setting? "Wasn't me." "Dear me, no. At the drop of a hat, we lie." "It's not a big lie, is it? Apparently. But we all do it. We do it easily, don't we? You do. You do. You lie. I lie. This is what we like." Remember on the radio, they had a big festival for peace on earth in Stonehenge, and they interviewed one of the leaders. "Peace on earth. Now, how do you think you're going to do it?" "Well, it's going to take a lot of work." "It's going to take a lot of work? Don't you think well-meaning people have tried for centuries?" You know, some years ago, Christenberg had that hit Lady in Red, you know, about his wife, how wonderful she looked in that red dress that night. And then it's not long after that his wife is furious because he's having an affair with a nanny. But this is the wife he said he loved and he wrote the song about. You know, the thing is, we're all wrong. And I have to warn you, there is a real devil. And he loves to fill our minds and the minds of millions of people with rubbish. Pleasant sounding poison. See, the Bible is clear. Deep down, you can't be much better than you are. Deep down, I can't be much better than I am. We need a miracle. We need Christ, the real Christ. We don't need Prince Harry, oblivious to the fact that the devil is conning and confusing millions. We don't need him coming on with his great advice. Be braver. Be stronger. Be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Change the world. Don't you think people have tried to change? Jesus Christ tells you and me right now, that's never going to be enough. We're all wrong. Religious, irreligious, agnostic, atheist, whatever. We're all wrong. For all of sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God. We can't do it. And yet, the religious leaders were shocked when John the Baptist came and said, the kingdom's come in and you are not ready. They were furious. We're not ready. But we're the Jews. We got the commandments of God. You know, I read just last week in Matthew 9, the shocking statement that Jesus says, I didn't come to call the righteous people. You know, you people who think you're doing pretty well. I haven't come for you. None of you are doing very well. But if you insist, I'm pretty good. I haven't come for you. I come for sinners. You know, a lady left this church years ago. And she said to me before she left, when you say these things about sin, do you mean me? I would have thought after years of being in church, you'd have got that, but apparently not. Or a fellow said to me years ago in the Rondo when I was preaching, if good deeds can get a man to heaven, I'll be there. How confused. Do you remember that evangelist? He was on the cable TV some years ago, just stopping people in the street, and he stopped this fellow. He said, you ever lied? Yeah, of course I have. Yeah, okay. Ever stolen? Yeah, a bit, you know. Ever lusted after anybody else's wife? I'm a bloke, of course I have. So you're a lying, lecherous thief, says the evangelist. Hey, steady on, he says. But the guy's already admitted, he's like. People don't see their need. The devil's making sure that some of you don't see your need. Have you seen your need? If you have seen your need, as we heard in the kids' story, head for home. If you've seen your need, then Jesus is calling you now to come home. Amen. Let's sing, crown him with many crowns.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb of God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you do speak. You call us, Lord, out of the confusion to know you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Please bother us, Lord, every single one of us. Some of us just sit in the fog week after week. Please, Lord, show mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen.